Blog Talk Radio.
With the number one overall selection. How does an undrafted prospect turn into a Hall of Famer? No around 50 put on desire. Small school. Big school. You have to be the best to get paid.
Welcome back to another edition of the C2P. Welcome to the primetime 2019 NFL QB Breakdown featuring NFL draft guru Justin Fulton and myself as we bring you the top 10 quarterback prospects as of this time. And they're always kind of going up and down in terms of stock. A lot of big things can happen in the next several weeks, especially with the championship games going on for the conference and then obviously the big bowl game. So these guys will really be under a lot of scrutiny moving forward. But with that said, Justin, welcome back to another program. How's the holidays treating you so far?
Everything's good. You know, it's always a good time as far as football is on. I get some time, you know, just to relax and watch football and eat some food. So there's not, you know, nothing better than that, right?
There's nothing better than that. And you're from Michigan. You're a Lions guy. How did you reflect back on the Thanksgiving game?
Well, you know, I mean, hey, you know, it's the Bears. The Bears played well. The Bears have a really good defense, and I think they've got a shot to really make a run here with their defense, obviously adding Khalil Mack. So, they played well. Obviously, Detroit's missing some offensive, you know, firepower without, you know, Golden Tate and Marvin Jones, are two top receivers, were out. Obviously, they had traded Golden Tate. So, you know, it's always a rebuilding year in Motown, and it doesn't disappoint, another rebuilding year for the Detroit Lions.
And we are talking quarterbacks, so I think it's only indicative that since we're talking draft, they would pick eighth right now, the Lions, if we drafted right now for next year. Are they sold? I mean, is Matthew Stafford the guy? And I think a lot of times we all get spoiled with the guys that are there, say, you know, Matt Stafford, a la Matt Ryan. You kind of get saying, hey, we could do better, where you really got a pretty good guy under center. But what do you think is the feeling right now with Matthew Stafford?
Well, I don't think he's going anywhere, obviously, with the contract. You've got to have some pieces around him. You know, I think, you know, if you look at, you know, his receiving core, no tight end, you know, again, you trade Golden Tate away, you really have – basically kind of got a little day, and you know, that's pretty much it on the receivers. You know, you have no tight ends, you know, so I mean, again, you got to give a guy a little bit of weapons. You look at what these offenses are doing in Kansas City with Pat Mahomes, Jared Goff with the Los Angeles Rams, and you think about the weapons that those two guys have, and you know, that's what the quarterback, I mean, the quarterback's got to be good, but you also have to have the talent around him to really be that kind of that point guard in basketball and be able to just distribute the ball, make the right calls, right decisions. And it's a lot. And I think that's the standpoint of people, you know, when they try to be, you know, that Monday morning quarterback or armchair quarterback, they don't really realize all that kind of goes into that. Thinks, okay, hey, you're an NFL quarterback. You're making $25 million a year. You've got to play better. And I'm not saying Matthew Stafford's played up to the level that he probably even wants to, but again, you've got to have some talented guys around him who can make plays and really kind of turn something into nothing, like a Tyreek Hill, Todd Gurley, Travis Kelce, you know, those type of guys who are difference makers at all levels of those positions that they play.
Well said, and I agree with you 100%. So now we're looking at this draft class over the last 10 years, Justin, 7 quarterbacks, 2 defensive end, and 1 offensive tackle, and Eric Fisher were the number one overall picks. And we've done plenty of mock drafts, and you shared a lot of inside knowledge leading up to this upcoming draft. And it's going to be a defensive-heavy draft. So I don't really know if we think any of these guys necessarily quarterbacks are going to, you know, leapfrog some of these outstanding defensive guys that are going to be available. But let's start going through the quarterbacks and maybe kind of, you know, find out where we're going to think they're going to shake out. Looking at this draft class, before we get started on the rankings, how many do you think are possible first-round guys?
I think maybe two. And I think here's what we're looking at. We're not going to have five first-round quarterbacks. You know, one thing that the TV networks, you know, I just got announced that ABC is also going to simulcast ESPN's, you know, there on the ABC network, so it's obviously going to be nationally televised. It doesn't have the sexy appeal that a Baker Mayfield and a Josh Allen and Josh Rosen and those type of guys going in the top 10, a Sam Darnold, doesn't have that like we had this past year. Really the only guy that I think, you know, if a consensus true first-round pick, and we don't even know if he's coming out early, is Justin Herbert, the Oregon quarterback. And he's kind of hasn't played, you know, to the level he probably has wanted to over the last couple of weeks, but there's a lot of talk that he's going back to Oregon. So if he doesn't come out, then you got to figure out, okay, is Dwayne Haskins, does he come out, which a lot of people think he will. He's probably a more likely than even Herbert coming out. And then what about Will Greer, Drew Locke? I mean, where do they fit in? You know, there's been some hype about Daniel Jones with Duke. You know, is he a first-rounder? You know, Ryan Finley from NC State was the highest-rated quarterback in the spring by National and Blesso. So what, you know – you know, again, that's the thing. Nobody's really kind of taken the mantle and said, I'm a franchise quarterback. I'm the number one overall pick. Again, I think if Justin Herbert comes out and, like we say, the Giants or, you know, they have the first overall pick, I think he goes number one overall. But if he's not there and the Giants aren't there and it's somebody like San Francisco who obviously paid a ton of money and their quarterback and Jimmy Garoppolo – you know, that's where you look at and say, okay, you know, they'd probably go with a different position or trade the pick.
Nice. So, I mean, basically, I mean, you've kind of shed the light on it. I mean, so Justin Herbert, Oregon, we know he got the hurt shoulder. If he elects and declares for the 2019 draft, by most common sense rationales, he would be the number one quarterback taken. Fair enough?
Yep. No, I think it's pretty much consensus. I mean, there's probably him and, you know, the gap for the next guy is pretty significant in, you know, most people's eyes.
Now, well, that's when we're really going to get into the nooks and crannies of this 2019 primetime NFL draft breakdown of the top quarterbacks. So we got Herbert going as the top prospect right now out of Oregon. So a lot of names, and it's a mosh posh of guys. Probably pick your poison on which guy you like for considered to the others. You know, I'm high on Will Greer, but I hate his pocket presence and his mistakes in the pocket. And I just, you know, I think once you get to that next level, it's even magnified because the talent's so much better. But who's the guy that you think right now is the second quarterback off the upcoming boards?
I think people would probably say Dwayne Haskins would be the next quarterback off the board, the Ohio State redshirt sophomore. And again, there's a kind of a growing sense that he's leaving early. Obviously, he's done a ton there at Ohio State this season. He's throwing the ball a ton, you know, there. And, you know, a lot of people like him. Again, he's not an elite type athlete, definitely a pocket passer, you know, there. But again, he's got an arm, can sling it all over there and had the weapons there. Ohio State, we saw what he did, you know, against Michigan. And again, they'll go play this upcoming Saturday in the Big Ten championship game, you know, and again, that's the thing. But there hasn't really been a true Ohio State dominant quarterback. We saw Cardale Jones and, you know, him win the national title, you know, and then he hasn't done anything, you know, of significance, you know, in the NFL. And so that's a little bit kind of a scary, is Dwayne Haskins a more Cardale Jones type prospect, and should he really, you know, come out early and really warrant being a first round, you know, quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, 15 starts, I mean, and like you said, I mean, in that offense, and like you mentioned, you know, K.J. Hill, Johnny Dixon, Paris Campbell, you know, J.K. Dobbins in the backfield, Mark Weber in the backfield. I mean, that is a powerhouse crew they have down in Columbus. So I think the points are kind of easy to come by. And granted, he had a fantastic day against a cop defense in Michigan. But again, I think if you play that game again, maybe, you know, even if Ohio State wins, I don't know if it's by such a ludicrous amount of points against such a defense like Michigan has. But, and like you mentioned, you know, you look at the history of quarterbacks, I guess, under Urban Meyer in terms of Terrell Pryor, and you know, JT Barrett and Cardale Jones. I mean, is he probably the best one at this point, or he's just maybe right on, you know, the cusp of what those other guys were? Is he actually a better quarterback prospect?
I think he is. I think you just look at as far as his, you know, accuracy, you know, his, as far as touch, you know, there, you know, just kind of a better, you know, kind of pro prospect, pro in a pro style offense, you know, there. You know, again, does he have some things to clean up? And hey, is it a risk reward standpoint there? But then it's also a standpoint of a risk reward for a guy like Dwayne Haskins. It's okay if you come back for next year and you're a redshirt junior, and then you're going against the likes of Jake Fromm and Tua there out of Alabama. You know, there, then you're saying, okay, those two guys are head and shoulders above, you know, a Dwayne Haskins. And then obviously if Herbert comes back, you know, then it's them three, you know, and now you're the fourth quarterback. If Herbert doesn't come, you're really pushing for that number one overall quarterback. So is it a better scenario for a Dwayne Haskins to come out there? You know, a lot of teams then are thinking, okay, do we wait and not draft a quarterback in the first round this year? And we do, you know, wait for next year when there should be a better crop of quarterbacks available.
Definitely. Once again, Justin Van Vulpen, NFL draft guru. Go to his site, Football Next Level. You can also find him on Twitter at Justin. Justin, give me the Twitter account.
J Van Vulpen.
I always want to say Justin. I want to give the full name, but I know you break it down to J Van Vulpen, and that is VanFulpen, the main man here, NFL draft guru, kind enough to share some insight. So we're on to the third quarterback, and I think a great analysis of Haskins. I think this is the perfect time for him to strike if he wants to, you know, make that jump to the next level. I think everything is in his favor, the way he's played, the lack of top arms heading into this draft class, and again, kind of like a la Cardale Jones, you don't ever know if your stock's going to be any higher than what it is right now. And you mentioned the names coming out in next year's draft, and it's going to kind of be a little bit more stringent class for him to kind of be the top guy. But with that said, the third quarterback right now in terms of the guys we're looking at for the 2019 draft.
You know, I think there's kind of a debate whether there's two seniors there, whether it's Will Greer or Drew Locke. I think Will Greer is probably a guy who people like better right now. You know, there it would be the third quarterback prospect, probably third quarterback off the board. They're, you know, kind of a draft eligible guys and the number one senior. I think he played well against Oklahoma. Obviously, they lost, but we'll see what they do in their bowl game. Obviously, if he elects to, he'll be going to the Senior Bowl down there in Mobile, have a viable chance to really kind of push his stock up there. Obviously, had the off-the-field issues with the PED suspension there, you know, Florida, and then transferred to West Virginia and has really – you know, excelled in that offense, you know, there and Dana Holkerset's, you know, offense there at West Virginia. So, again, but we saw Geno Smith really excel in that offense. He was a second-round pick, and then, you know, obviously hasn't lived up to, you know, kind of his hype there. He was with the Jets and then now with the Chargers there. Got a little bit of run yesterday, you know, when they pulled Phillip Rivers because they were winning so much against Arizona. So, again, but I think he's better than Geno Smith, but you have to look at the same guy coming out of that offense and how does he translate the NFL. I think he's a better prospect. I think he's probably a solid second-round guy. Could he get overdrafted and push in the first because of the need of quarterbacks? Yes, but I think when you look at him, he's probably a solid second-round draft pick in 2019.
Awesome stuff. And you mentioned another senior. I don't know if you're going to have Drew Locke from Missouri going fourth, but who's your fourth guy?
Drew Locke, I think, you know, again, he's a highly rated guy, big arm, you know, there. And, again, he could get, you know, it depends, like, kind of like what picks your poison on there. You know, again, there's going to be so much, you know, could Drew Locke be the number one overall quarterback drafted? Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people thought about that when he, you know, kind of this year when we're going in this thing. You know, so that's the standpoint of what's Drew Locke really? You know, is he the guy who he was there with that big, strong arm? But wasn't in regards to very accurate. He's kind of improved on the accuracy level this year. And so what do you trust him? And again, he's kind of that wild card there but he's got an elite arm strength, arm talent. People love that. Obviously saw what Joe Flacco was able to do there, you know, kind of coming that same type of arm strength there. So I think that's the guy there. Again, I like Locke. I like his ability, like his arm. Just can he put it all together and really kind of be that precision passing quarterback that you need to be at the next level?
Definitely. And that is the four guys. We basically have two underclassmen, and two seniors amongst the top four. And we have Justin Herbert, one from Oregon, Dwayne Haskins, Ohio State, two, Will Greer, West Virginia, three, and then Missouri quarterback Drew Locke at number four. Give us the fifth guy on your board right now, Justin.
Well, I think Daniel Jones out of Duke, again, an underclassman. I don't think he'll declare. I think there's a standpoint of he'll probably go back, but you never know. You never know. Again, like we talked about regards to Haskins, is do you strike when the iron's hot? You know, there and a lot of people like him. He was in the top 25 of Mel Kiper Jr.'s prospects a couple of weeks ago. Got a lot of buzz, you know, off of that. I think, you know, this past week didn't play as well as they got beat and kind of blew it out against Wake Forest, allowed Wake Forest to get pull bound. Again, kind of regressed there. So, again, I think that's where he kind of is. It's really kind of more of that fifth quarterback in this process and probably should go back to Duke for his senior season. But, like, the Haskins aspect of is do you want to compete against those – big name guys, you know, next year or come out now when you kind of have a kind of a leg up on those guys.
Definitely. And Duke, you know, that's a tricky one again. You know, I could see him staying, but again, you really never know what these young men are thinking, especially when they know such an opportunity awaits and you know how uncertain that opportunity could be a year from now. The top five in the house, and we're going to go through 6 through 10. Who's the sixth guy right now on the board?
Well, I think, you know, really probably Ryan Finley out of NC State, you know, had kind of an up and down year there. But again, he was highly rated by the scouting services this spring. And I think he's, you know, he's done what he should have done. And again, he's an NFL quarterback. He's a mid-level type, you know, draft prospect, third, fourth round type guy, you know, but again, probably he'll go to the, you know, the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, can help his stock, help about his valuation with a good week down there. And again, I think he's probably the next guy, you know, to come off the board if the draft was right now.
Nice. And you know, you talked about the National and the Bluffstone, these scouting reports to come out in the spring, you know, and him being ranked where he was. How much stock do you think those scouts hold in terms of, you know, evaluating him from, you know, hey, he was the one guy amongst these seniors, and he may not necessarily be the one guy now. I mean, how much do they scrutinize over that, or how much do they still kind of say, you know, let's not, you know, tread too far off what this junior analysis was compared to the senior tape?
Well, I think it's a roadmap. You know, it's a kind of a guideline, and like anything, as far as you want it, you know, okay, this is what we had, you know, kind of in the past. Maybe hasn't played to the level we expected him to, so it kind of dips there. But it never goes, you know, okay, he goes from the highest-rated guy to, oh, he can't play in the NFL. You know, they do have some type of, again, it's a kind of that guideline, that roadmap, you know, and you kind of, okay, we can go a different direction a little bit. But, again, kind of the where we're looking to go is kind of on that same type of vein there.
Yeah, like I said, an interesting guy. You know, like you said, and you know what he, you know, was how he was presumed before this thing started, you know, back in August when the season kicked off. But again, a lot of NFL intangibles are there. Going to be interesting. You know, I could see him, you know, again, you know, possibly in late, you know, at least a day two guy, second, third round on Friday night when this thing goes off on, you know, in April. How about number seven, Justin? I mean, we still looking at some of these senior guys? Are we going back under class?
Yeah. No, I think the senior, I mean, the Clayton Thorson at Northwestern, you know, I think he's a guy who potentially could be a better pro than he was a college player. Obviously, he tore his ACL last year in his bowl game, which pretty much made the decision that he was coming back for his senior season. And I think it's taken him a while to kind of get back there into form. I think he's a guy who, again, possesses all of those intangibles, you know, far as quarterback-wise, smart, high football IQ, you know, arm strength, size, you know, athleticism, you know, and again, I think he could potentially be a higher, a better pro than he was a college prospect. And again, right there in that, you know, mid-level, you know, quarterback prospect.
Nice. And I'm sure they're going to be coming up, but, you know, like Jared Sidham, Nick Fitzgerald, there's still plenty of prospects out there. I know you're going to mention these, but I mean, you know, even, excuse me, even the Ripien kid from Boise State, So who are some of the other guys left on this board? Even Shea Patterson. I'm interested to see who the final three are going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you just look at the, I think eight would be Jarrett Stidham from Auburn. I think, you know, nine really probably is KJ Costello from Stanford, another underclassman. You look at, you know, 10 would be, you know, probably, you know, a tie between Tyree Jackson of Buffalo and Steve Montez of Colorado there with kind of the pulling up the kind of the guy who's risen out of obscurity is Garden Mershew from Washington State, you know, kind of a guy who was at Eastern Carolina, East Carolina, and then transferred to Washington State and really kind of made his way up there. Obviously, they lost this past week against Washington, but really a lot of people love the mustache.
Hey, man, hey, when you're leading the nation with 373 yards per game, you know, 20 more yards than, you know, Will Greer, probably 30 more yards than Dwayne Haskins at 340. Like I said, Minshew is definitely tearing things up for Coach Leach out there. Like you said, that Washington game for the Apple Cup didn't pan out, but in terms of numbers and productions, he is definitely slinging it, almost 375 yards per game. We were talking before we went on live, we got the NFLPA game, the East-West Shrine game, and the Senior Bowl, the three big bowl games that are going to attract the top quarterbacks. When you look at this class, we know that you got the underclassmen who obviously don't go, and then some of these senior guys may elect not to throw and work out at these places. But the overall, you know, landscape of just, from the NFLPA, Shrine game, and Senior Bowl, you think it's going to be a decent draft class to look at when we're scouting these guys?
Yeah, I think if you look at the seniors, guys we talked about that should go to the Senior Bowl, you should look at Ryan Finley, Will Greer, Drew Locke should all be, you know, and Clayton Thorson should all be Senior Bowl guys. So if you have those four quarterbacks down at the Senior Bowl, that is definitely high level of quarterbacks. And then it comes on, okay, East-West Shrine game, the NFLPA game, you know, they won't have the level of quarterbacks that the Senior Bowl does. And, again, I think it's a kind of a lesser talented group of quarterbacks. Again, and next year, we're going to be loving next year's draft class in regards to talking about Tua and Jake Fromm. And those two guys are, you know, will be battling of who's going to be the number one overall quarterback. It kind of be like that year when you had Drew Bledsoe and Rick Myers and you had Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf. I mean, just kind of, okay, pick your poison there. And obviously Georgia has got another guy right up in the wings in Justin Fields, who, you know, is a true freshman this year. And then you got Trevor Lawrence, who's a true freshman at Clemson, who the next year we're talking about those two guys. And who do you like better? I mean, again, there's quarterbacks that are in the wings that, you know, people are excited about. And I think it was indicative of what the – you know, Philadelphia Eagles did a couple years ago. They really kind of did a deep dive into what's going on, you know, with the quarterback, you know, market. And when, you know, it's like the same, you know, same way I think people did last year going, hey, we know that this year's upcoming is not as good as, so we're willing to trade up and, you know, trade up for a Josh Rosen. We're willing to trade up for a Josh Allen because those guys have, you know, upper level talent where guys in this year's draft class, they could be great Pro Bowl quarterbacks, but when you're looking at them and you're evaluating them as a college prospect, they don't match up with last year's five first-round draft picks.
Yeah, 100% correct, man. Like I said, and you're right, this draft class doesn't pack the punch that we've been used to, may not pack the punch that we're going to see in the next year or the year after that. A lot of big-name kids coming out with a tremendous amount of talent. We know it's a quarterback-driven league. That's why it's so fun watching these games. I mean, you know, we all could reflect back on Goff and Mahomes last Monday night. I mean, you know, the way that they were throwing the ball around. And when you looked at, you know, the Oklahoma-West Virginia game, I mean, you know, between Murray and Greer just slinging the thing back and forth for, you know, all those points and yards. I mean, you know, it's a different league. We're used to it. And I thought about you when I saw that report about ABC and how they're going to make it more – I mean, if they can make it any more casual, Justin. Me and you are diehards. We're used to the, you know, hunker down in the cave on Saturday, and you're going to wake up with the sun, and you're not going to see the sun until the next day because you're going to see all these rounds going off. But, you know, they said they're going to have music groups in between picks and everything, and I'm already dreading it. I'm already dreading it. I'm not lying. I just – You know, I miss the old way. I'm not worried about the casual fan caring about the draft. It's kind of one of those things. If you don't like it, then don't come. But with that said, I'm already upset and bitter. I know I'm going to text you that night. I'm going to probably be in a rage because, you know, I'm going to have to wait for the fifth selection of the draft coming on, and I'm going to have to listen. And I like them. No disrespect, but I don't want to hear Maroon 5 in between songs. I just don't. Right?
Well, I mean, I want to hear it.
Yeah.
That's the NFL that you know, you've got to get used to, because they're trying to, obviously it's a bigger audience. They want the scoring. They want the quarterbacks. They want the sexy. They want the other people than just the guys who, you know, have fun, you know, down at the combine and, they're sitting, at some of the bars, just, you know, hanging and talking football. You know, they don't want me and you. They know they've got me and you, like we've talked about. They need your wife and your wife's girlfriends and their friends and, you know, the moms, soccer moms. And again, they need them to be excited about football, so allow their kids to play football. But again, I think the quarterback aspect, I think we saw Blake Bortles get you know, benched. We saw AJ, as far as the Bengals quarterback, you know, with his Andy Dalton, with his thumb, you know, injury there. There, you know, so again, there's always going to be a need for quarterbacks, you know, in the NFL, and we need them more and more to continue to have that excitement. Mariota, Marcus hasn't lived up to really that second overall pick there. So does Tennessee, if they kind of wash out, do they go after another quarterback? Does Tampa took Jameis Winston with the number one overall pick 4 years ago? Are they going to be looking for a new quarterback? It's very interesting these last 5 weeks in the NFL, and then we've got the college stuff. So, again, I know you're upset about what the NFL is doing in regards to kind of sexying it up there to try to draw more fans with the music groups and different things like that. But just bear with it, Bo. It's going to be okay. Soon enough,
it's not.
We'll be able to talk football and keep rolling it, baby.
Yeah, I know. Actually, what I'm going to do now is when you come on the show and give us your top 10 of each position from now moving forward, after you get done, you know, explaining who the pick is going to be and why he's going to be the number one prospect, I'm going to play a song. And then
nice. We'll
get back to the pick.
Well, if we get some sponsored by some of those artists, maybe that's a good idea.
Yeah, well, probably, yeah, that's it. Yeah, I better watch out what I'm playing. I'll probably get sued. So, hey, Justin, you're the best, man. Hopefully we can. I know you're always willing. It's just me and me not being on cue with Mike. But we want to bring you folks, you know, a weekly version of the top 10 prospects at each position as we move through the upcoming draft. Because, like I said, we take it on a week-by-week basis. You know, we're going to be right in the middle of January, and that's when the All-Star games start. And once that starts, that's the thick of it. Then you got the Combine, Pro Days, and then, boom, we're off to April. And then, wow, you're waiting for another Blesto National report for the next year's group class. But, Justin, you are the best, my man. NFL Football Next Level is the place to find all his work. Justin brings such a wide variety of knowledge and so many subjects at a professional level. I encourage you all to go visit his site. You can go back and backlog to all the shows that he's joined us and hear his expertise on each one of these draft prospects, mock drafts as well. And then you can find him at Twitter at JVanFulpen. It's VanFulpen. Justin, as always, man, we appreciate you. And we will talk next week when we break down the primetime 2019 NFL draft running back prospects.
Yep, it will be interesting. And again, probably not a first-round pick in this year's draft class at the running back position, but we'll talk about that next week.
Awesome, Justin. Once again, Justin Van Poelman, kind enough to join me, Bo Marchand, here on the C2P as we bring you draft class, draft news all the time. As always, thanks for listening. Yeah.